Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone, to Wacky Wednesday. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, brought to you by...
Brought to you by HappyTrees.co, Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and also Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, today at 3:30, I want to let you know we're talking to John Conlon. He had a great article talking about if you want to save the country, you need to start by saving our education system. And he had some interesting ideas, kind of like what they're doing in Arizona with not so much vouchers. He proposes scholarships, but we'll talk to him about that. But the war against the populist has really heated up. You are seeing it all over the place. And I know you'll all be glad to know that the RNC has hired the guy who tried to destroy the Tea Party is going to investigate the Henry Barber, investigate the midterms. And I'm going to go out on a limb right now and tell us what we really need.
More electable candidates,
which, by the way, Mitch McConnell pointed out today that Donald Trump isn't electable. So it all kind of comes full circle. Mm-hmm. But the battle is going on fast and furious here in Colorado, too. And I think we have Peg Cage coming. There was a big rally down at the Republican Party headquarters talk about the Save Colorado project. We had Aaron Wood on the other day who talked about the rally. And Peg and a bunch of people were there. And Peg, if you're in the waiting room, go ahead and turn your camera and your microphone on. I'm not sure. She's joining now. Oh, there she is.
There she is.
Okay, so look here. We've got Joe, and we've got Ben, and we've got Carrie. So
and we've got everybody.
Yes, and they even turned the music down for us here so that we can hear
you. Right. You guys are professional. You're a professional there. Okay, why don't we start with you, and then maybe, too, we can – anyone else who wants to join in, you can run the camera, okay? You can be the producer.
That's me all the way. Yes.
Here, you know, so Sandra's saying, woohoo, it's going to be a great show already. Thank you, Sandra. And Leo, you mean we can't trust the RNC? But Peg, talk about
the rally. What is the purpose for? Whoever all was there?
Well, Ben was the star of the show. He started out by telling us all the different things that have gone on over the last how many ever years. Open primary and, putting Tina Peters on notice that she better drop out, not run for Secretary of State because she was being indicted and all that. So,
right.
Yeah. It was mostly, Ben's chewing.
Okay. Well, we've got Anna Ferguson here too. Anna Ferguson, the vice chair of the Adams County Republican Party.
Hi.
You, I know, have been, because I've been getting the emails from you. What can you tell us about it too while we wait for Ben to swallow his food?
Well, it went really well. We signed up a lot of people. I think a lot of people are interested in joining, standing with us to, get more PCPs if we can, and then hopefully convert the PCPs that are already appointed, or maybe not convert. A lot of them are with us already,
right.
But to educate them to what the party is doing and how we're not winning, no matter how many times they, keep telling us, go, you got to vote red. And, we held our noses, we voted red, and we still don't win. We just
exactly.
Keep losing. So we are hoping to educate the PCPs, the DCs, get some bonus members and make a change at the State Central Committee.
Okay, and let me peg, if Ben wants to talk too, whichever of you, can you maybe jump in on what Anna said and explain what those terms are and why they matter so much?
I'm not sure I couldn't hear you because of where we're at. Oh, what a PCP is and a bonus member?
Well, and why they matter.
No, they're highly important. The PCP is the precinct committee person. That's the grassroots person that represents you. As a matter of fact, both of you happen to be the PCPs of Precinct 46, which I live in.
That's right.
And so you vote as to who is the leadership of our county party. You also vote as to who it is that can represent you at the state level, and that is the state central committee, which both of you, as well as I, are members of. So the PCP project could not be more important. Where all the power really lies.
And let me, before I get into what you said today, too, in case people are like, well, I want to be a PCP. When do they start that process again? That comes after the first of the year, right? I mean, you can't just say I'm a PCP today. Okay, Anna, go ahead.
Your county could appoint you anytime throughout the year. Yes, PCPs can be appointed. Yeah. Basically, it's from the caucus is when most of the PCPs are signed up.
Right.
And then it's during the year, like if there are vacant.
That's what happened in my case. Yeah, they had vacancies and Joanne. And
then, if there's a vacant district, precinct, then yes, you can be appointed. Your chair could appoint you throughout the year at any time. So,
I never know what I am. I'm not in charge.
You were appointed a PCP at the caucus. You became a
district person.
District captain.
I didn't get any.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah, you actually were not.
DC's a voter too, though.
Right.
Yeah, you're not appointed. You're appointed and elected.
Right.
So at our caucus, that's where you both were elected as our PCPs. And so at the county level, it's when the vacancy committee meets and they also elect other individuals for those positions in the various precincts.
Okay. So, Ben, what did you have to say at the rally today? Peg says
you had them
star.
Up on the chairs, cheering, thumping. La Revolution.
I had to stop and spit out a lot of the confetti as it was falling from the sky. Not really. Actually, mine was just the introductory speech. I just laid out most of the egregious violations of the bylaws, as well as the treachery that this that KBB has placed upon all of us, as well as the history of where. How we got to this point from our population turning down the mail-in ballots in 2002 and how it was then brought back through legislative means in 2013. And then how that process then affected the 2014 election and how we then ended up with open primaries.
Right.
This is the problem that we are dealing with right now, as well as a feckless leadership of the GOP. So,
because let me point out once.
Well, we got the open primaries in 2016, but
the open primary is something. I mean, you know, it's legislatively that's a whole different battle. But the Colorado Republican Party, if KBB and the leadership there wanted to opt out of the open primary, they could, right?
In theory,
that's correct. Yeah, right. they could have joined our case that we had, and she refused to do so.
Exactly.
It would not have cost anything for her to essentially produce an amicus brief and simply state that the party does support our efforts in our suit. And she chose not to. That would have cost nothing more than the paper.
Well, and let me ask this, and again, whoever wants to address this, go ahead. And I think I saw Casper Stockham joining in the waiting room, too. So, Casper, we're going to have a multi-screen extravaganza here.
Multi-screen.
Your camera and your microphone, too, if you'd like to.
Let me turn this back over to Peg, because she's eating my sandwich, and I
will. Okay. Well, Peg, let me ask you this.
I mean, you know, everything begins with taking the party back. I mean, that's all that matters. And all you have to do to take the party back, you don't have to win the vice chair, you don't have to win the secretary, you don't have to win the anything. You just have to win the chair, because it's set up like the old Soviet Union. The chair has all the power, as I'm sure Casper can well attest. and so we have only one goal in mind, and that's taking the party back. And quite frankly, it's been taken back in Wyoming. It's been taken back in Nebraska, it's been taken back in other states. In the meantime, if we don't do that, there's no point in supporting a Republican Party that's gotten so far left. All the legislators, I mean, Mike Lynch is now the minority leader. He got elected with Catherine Murdoch's money. I mean, he's about as far left as you can go.
Right.
All your state legislators, with the exception of, I think, four or five in the House, are all left-wing Republicans, if you can call them Republicans, who will kowtow to the Democrats who don't need them anyway. And so it really doesn't matter what they do because they won't do anything. But if we can't get the chair, then I don't think anybody should be interested in continuing with the Republican Party for any purpose.
And Casper, let me have you. You were at the rally, too. I mean, your thoughts on the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree with Chuck and with Ben and all the folks that have been speaking today. There is a process, and I'm glad we are focused on the process of getting to where we can replace leadership. But as I mentioned today, there's only three people controlling the party right now, and that's the chair, the executive director, and the lawyer.
Yeah.
Those three have to be replaced. If we don't replace those three, you know, we're kind of just wasting our time.
All you have to do is replace the chair. That gets you rid of the lawyer.
Well,
that
exactly.
gets rid of
and,
Joe Jackson. That
right.
gets rid of everything.
Well, and you're right, and not just replace, because I would say this, and again, and Peg, I saw you turn your camera off. I don't know if that's because now Ben's eating your sandwich, but feel free to just jump back in, okay? I won't necessarily call on people. But, you know, what we don't want to do,
and ultimately, let's face it, Phil Anschutz controls
right,
the Republican
right.
Party, which,
well,
which 98% of the Republican Party does not know. They have no idea that he controls the Independence yeah. Institute. They have no idea he controls everything, and it is amazing.
But Phil doesn't vote. So if we get the right person in there,
right.
then if he wants to get, look,
he
if
wants
I'm
to take
chair,
his money and go for, away.
He'll take his money and go away.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, fine. Take your money yeah. and go away. We don't actually need his money. We can raise enough money to do everything we need to do and more if we do it correctly. But we need to have the right leadership in place to make it happen.
Right. And by the right leadership, too, and I want to emphasize, it's not just getting rid of the current leadership. It's getting the right leadership in there, because we've been through a few leaders, right? I mean, we supported Christy Burton Brown early on because the leaders always do. Yeah. They say and do all the right things, right? And I think
we supported supported Christy. You know, we supported Steve House, you know, when he was running
right.
and others and stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if we change the captain of the ship, but it's the Titanic and it's headed toward the iceberg. It doesn't matter who's steering it. If
right.
they don't change the direction of the ship, we're going to crash into the iceberg.
Right. Right.
Well, at least they still you'd have a ship, a nice ship going into the iceberg as opposed to the rotten hull. I listened to you with George Brockler today, and it was so pathetic. Not you. But with the conversation, and he's going, well, what would it take to that's a lawsuit that costs tons of money. And you kind of know it's already been paid for. Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you just lying, George? Is it just a matter of lying or don't you know? And I don't know which of the two it is.
Well,
and that was Christie's excuse, you know, to why she couldn't really get involved because, she didn't know if the state party could legally raise the money. That was her excuse to not do anything.
And then raised the money.
We raised the money.
Then they raised the money.
We got lawyers. And she just the whole party. It's a rotten hull of a party.
Well,
it really is.
When we talk about change of leadership, and maybe all of you could kind of comment on this, and Peg, if you want to come back on, but Anna, let me jump to you. What do we need to do? I mean, change it to what?
Well, we need to, I'm sorry, because I was writing in the chat when the question was, I'm sorry.
That's okay. What are we, I know the chat is, what do we need to change the leadership to? Who do we, maybe not personally.
Oh,
but
well, we have a criteria. Yeah, we have a criteria. Number one is they have to support the closing the primaries. That's number one, non-negotiable. They have to also then support candidates that are only represent us. What good is it if you have a candidate that is willing to, trying to get another party to vote for them,
right.
Then why should we be Republicans if we're looking to get the unaffiliated to vote for? I mean, I understand that we do need other voters, but we still have to stand on our own principles.
Exactly.
We still have to be the Republicans. It has to be our values, our platform, not somebody else's. Because
right.
did you ever see a Democrat,
No.
coming to our side? Never,
no.
never.
No.
So, I mean, you know, we do want to, obviously we want to, get on affiliates or whatever, but the candidate must be a true Republican, a conservative, with our values and our platform. And those, these are things that we are not going to negotiate with.
We want candidates who are determined not by the consultant class, right, but by the voters. It's like at the assembly, we all voted for certain candidates, right? And then all the establishment people and the consultants said, no, we don't like those people. And then they shoved these other candidates down our throat, and they all lost. So
exactly.
Casper, your thoughts on what, when we talk about what are the characteristics of the leadership that we need in there?
I think the leader needs to know how to turn the ship. Right now, Christie's going in the same direction that all the other chairs went into. Now, she's running the ship well as we hit the iceberg, but we're not changing anything.
Well, the job of the party is to get Republicans elected. So she can't be doing too good a job if the job is to get Republicans elected.
But she doesn't know how to do that. Okay, she's already acquiesced to that because she said on George's show twice now that, you know, we just have to focus on these local elections and stuff. You know, winning statewide elections is pretty much done. So anybody that already has that thought process going out of the gate is going to continue to lose.
Right.
We have to do more outreach, which we have not done, and we voted to do it and we still didn't do it. We have to unify the party. A leader needs to know how to do that, and she doesn't know because she's not unifying anybody. We have to do more supporting of candidates across the board. Now, I know there's some issues with that about which candidate, and we can have that debate. But at the end of the day, there are good candidates that didn't get any support.
Right.
So we need to support those candidates. And then we need to do training, a lot of training, and not elitist training. We need to do grassroots training so people know how to go out and capture the hearts and eventually the minds of the voters.
Okay. In my view, you have to do none of those. You have only one thing to do.
What's
and that?
That
is stop mail-in balloting.
Yes. Okay, but Chuck, listen.
Learn how to do it.
Okay.
You don't know because you've never done it. I have.
Okay,
well, he hasn't done it. And how many ballots did you collect?
Well, Chuck, we don't want to get into an argument.
Ballot harvesting, you either do two things. One, you fight against ballot harvesting and try to get it outlawed, or you do it better than them.
I agree. So this is how you do it, because you have to have a plan to ballot her. You can't just go out and knock on the door and say, I need your ballots. You have to have a relationship with the people that you're collecting the ballots from.
That's
what the Democrats have done. The Democrats have done this masterfully because they are ballot harvesting right now, today. They are forming those relationships in the community so that when it's time to collect the ballots, they just knock on the door and say, hey, Sally, how you doing?
Give me those ballots. So we have to have the relationship.
Our problem is we have leadership telling them, all vote on election day. Well, you can't ballot harvest if everybody votes on election day.
I understand. Christy Brown laughed and you said it.
And Ben is raising his hand. Hey, Ben.
We're on the same page.
We're on the same page.
I didn't say that that's not important. It's very important, but we have to have the outreach to get the ballots.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Hey, Kev. Okay, Ben, you're up.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject here. You asked what we need to do. I think we need to return our party to adherence to our bylaws as well as transparency. As far as something else we need to do here, an old friend of mine, he said, you know, if you're not willing to kill it, then you better adopt it. And that's ballot harvesting.
Yeah.
And so that is that old friend of mine happens to be Chuck. So he's absolutely right. We need to have a much better operation at this point in time to do ballot harvesting. We've got to be out there on ballot drop day already weeks ahead of time, informing these retirement centers that we are coming and we want access to those individuals. We want to start doing this. And
if you do it weeks ahead of time, you're already too late. It needs to happen today. We need to be in those communities right now, today, letting them know that we'll be back every month until it's time for the ballot to be harvested. So we have those relationships.
And you're both right. I mean, you have to build it. You can't just walk in there. But Ben is right, though. What you need to do is be there on the day the ballots are mailed there, right? You need to
What Casper is saying, you have to have a relationship.
Well, you lay the groundwork, but then you
It's true. You can't, because I've done it. You have to.
I'm not that agent. I'm at the age that I may be in, you know, enrolling in one of these places, so they'll have a room. Maybe I'll
that's right. Then they can, you can.
or the leadership that say we're not going to participate in statewide elections that have a crooked system of ballot harvesting that is done illegally as well as legally. And it's a system that has destroyed the state rather than saying it's a gold standard. Right. I mean, Ken Buck ought to be shot. Shot with a pellet gun. Shot with a pellet gun, not hurt. But not hurt.
Shot with a pellet gun.
But he's destroyed the state Republican Party. He got in there, cheated to get Susan Beckman defeated, and then did everything he could do to destroy the Republican Party of Colorado. And yet you'll have, it's Ken Buck. Oh, hey, it's Ken Buck. We all should say Ken Buck. You know, we're not going to allow you in this state.
Ken
Stay in
Buck
Washington.
Barely run his own assembly out there. Barely won. He may have been eliminated from the primary ballot, and he would have had to run as some other way to do it. So he's not well thought of in CD4.
And what we're seeing, I mean, you're seeing it across the country, right? You got Mitch McConnell jumping all over Trump about Kanye West repeating lies and then saying, so Trump shouldn't run. As I was saying earlier, you've got the RNC hiring a guy who was Mitch McConnell's hitman against the Tea Party to now review the process, right? I mean, it's all going to come to the same conclusion that once again, we're the problem, right? Because they don't want, I mean, we got to remember that. There are more of us than there are of them. That's why they are so afraid of us. And that's why they have to do everything they can to smash us down.
Well, this is exactly what this meeting was all about. I declared war today for our group. That's who was my opening line. So this is a declaration of war is what we're doing. We're coming after our party here statewide. We're going to organize and we're going to become formidable. And so, if they don't like us, we don't like them either. So I guess we're off the Christmas card list. That's just how it is.
We weren't on it anyway.
Let me give you back to Peg. So
Peg can say, okay, you guys are doing a great job there, Minor, with the camera.
Always a good time.
Sure why he gave him back. He was doing great.
Well, any thoughts? I mean, because we're starting to run out of time, maybe we'll kind of go around and everybody kind of wrap it up. Kind of final thoughts on this, Peg.
So final thoughts for me are go to mycoloradogop.org. A lot of the things that we talked about were Park County thing. Letters and stuff on mycoloradogop.org.
Right. Well, okay, it's getting kind of noisy, though. Okay, Peg, thank you. MyColoradoGOP.org. That's
a great resource.
Okay, Anna, kind of final thoughts on your part?
Well, I'm hoping that people will sign up to join us and help in this movement, and they can go to SaveColoradoProject.com and sign up there, and we'll be there to help. We are willing to help anybody. There are PCPs that don't even know what it is they're supposed to be doing. We want to be able to educate these people, let them know what they can do, the power that they have, and then move forward to change our GOP here in the county, the state, and we have to start taking our country back, because if we don't get our country back for our kids, then, I mean, it's worthless.
All right. Thank you, Anna. And then Casper.
Thank you. You're muted.
Yeah, turn your mic back on. Sorry
about that. We need a clearinghouse type location, a website. If it's My Colorado GOP or Save Colorado, we need somewhere that everybody can go, because what's happening is I was talking to the crowd at the event today, and a lot of people were like, okay, so now what do I do? How do I get the training for PCP? How do I get the training to become a bonus member? They don't know what to do, and we have to get very clear, because if you have mixed signals and mixed suggestions, people just aren't going to do anything.
Right.
So we need to come up with one clearinghouse location. We can have multiple sites, but one site needs to be to where everything is listed, so people can go there and then disseminate the information.
And that's a good idea. And then you link it there, because you're absolutely right. Because you've got people are kind of fired up now, and I think this is the time to take advantage of it. And again, to reiterate what you said, if we're not starting all of this now, if we're not starting to make the inroads in the community, laying the groundwork for collecting the ballots legally on during the next election, it's too late. It's too late. Yeah. So. All right, hey guys.
All right, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Good job. Yay.
Great. Well, one final question. Did KKB come out to talk to you guys at all since you're at the... No.
She did not come out.
She didn't work today. No. We heard that she did not come into the office today, is what we heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, convenient.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate your efforts. So let me tell you a couple of websites if people are listening. SaveColoradoProject.com. And then that's right now, because I went there and I signed up to get to the emails and stuff like that. That's just sort of a basic one that outlines their mission. But if you want specific information about various things that are going on, Peg's site, mycoloradogop.org, is a good one to go to there, because she has links to everything. And remember, you know she's over the target, because that's the one the lawyer, KKB and her lawyer, sent Peg an email or letter saying she can't say My Colorado GOP, which is ridiculous, and apparently they backed down on that. So,
well, they said they'll think,
they'll think about it. And I want to say, you guys, there's been a ton of great comments over there. I mean, I apologize for not getting to all of them in the chat. But, you know, back to, real quick, I want to play this Mitch McConnell soundbite, because I think this is what we're up against. The establishment, the Chamber of Commerce Republicans, the Rhino Republicans, whatever you want to call them, they are the corporate and interest Republicans, right? And they want to crush the populace, and they want to crush the MAGA Republicans. And their main guy to do that is Trump. So I think all of this, the only good thing, or one good thing that came out of the whole Kanye West thing, I think, Chuck, is it is exposing all of the rhinos, and they are telling us straight up, we are going to do everything we can to crush Trump and to crush you. Yeah, and listen, so we're going to play, this is what Mitch McConnell had to say about the whole Trump Kanye West thing. If we could play the Mitch bite.
Let me just say that there is no room in the Republican Party for anti-Semitism or white supremacy. And anyone meeting with people advocating that point of view, in my judgment, are highly unlikely to ever be elected president of the United States.
There you go. Unelectable candidate. I mean, that's just because I have to do this. That's just sort of, you know, deconstruct all of the lies in that. Number one, Trump did not meet with anyone who was anti-Semitic, had anti-Semitic views, or white supremacists. Again, they were there with an African-American man. So by definition, there was no white supremacy going on there. But Mitch McConnell repeats their lies, knowingly repeats their lies. So we have all of the lefts, all of the elites, the media.
And particularly in Colorado.
And the Rhino Republicans are all aligned against us. But keep in mind, with those guys, the Save Colorado Project, we can do it, because there are more of us than there are of them. And I just encourage everybody, and I'll get off the soapbox there a little bit, but check those out. Consider becoming a PCP.
Everything starts with taking over the state party. They did it in Wyoming to change things and get rid of Liz Cheney. They did it in Nebraska to get rid of Ricketts and his administration, and we've got to do it in Colorado, because without it, there really is no point.
Right.
There is no point in a Chamber of Commerce run Colorado GOP. There's just no point.
Right. Well, and they're never going to get elected. And again, the consultants don't care. They get paid the same, whether somebody gets elected or not elected. I think Phil Anschutz, as you say, because I was wondering, will he pick up his money and go away? Mm-hmm. And the answer is probably not, because he still wants to continue to have influence, right? He would rather have, like Mitch McConnell, he'd rather have the establishment people would rather have the Republican lose than have a Republican that they don't control. Right. And again, the reason they want to control it is not to make our lives greater, but to make their lives richer. And I mean, that's their whole point, and that's their whole goal. And I think, it, you know, we need to save Colorado so we can do it. Hey, and TJ, if you want to go ahead and call John Conlon now, it's a couple minutes early, but we can go ahead and get him.
Saving Colorado.
Talking about in a different way. Meantime, I want to bring you up to date. So the battle, poor Elon Musk, right? The EU now has said that if Elon Musk doesn't subscribe to their definitions of content moderation and censorship, they're going to ban Twitter in the EU. Which I guess if you're Elon Musk, you'd be like, how many Twitter users do we have in the EU anyway? I don't know. But I mean, they're going after him, a George Soros funded organization, the Open Markets Institute. That's pretty ironic, isn't it? Open Markets Institute is pushing the Biden administration. And by pushing, I mean, they're pushing money at the Biden administration to investigate Elon Musk and his satellite company and the Twitter buyout and all of that. They are so freaked out about the fact that there could be actual open discussion, and that they can't control the narrative, at least not quite as much today as they were able to a few weeks ago. They are so freaked out about it. I think here, you know, for a medium time, at least, Donald Trump is a little bit off of the target, right? They're all zooming in and zeroing in on Elon Musk.
Off the target. After one dinner, I mean, everybody in the world is whining about it, and everybody else who's a consumer of the news, because we don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
He can have his whoever he wants over, whether Mitch Connell likes it or not. Let's go to line two. We got Johnny on that one. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah, what does Mitch McCollum doesn't know, because he's probably so old he doesn't know technology and information, is that Obama went to a church with Reverend Wright. Obama knows what's that guy?
Louis Farrakhan.
And it sounds like he said, well, no president who meet with these people should ever be right. President. Is that train has already left the station.
Right, right. Well, and you know, the one good thing I think is there is going to be so much white noise about all of this, right? We hate Trump, we hate Trump, we hate Elon Musk, we hate Elon Musk, that I think people start to tune it out. I mean, for Mitch McConnell to say, granted, if you had a candidate who said, yeah, I am a white supremacist and I'm an anti-Semite, they probably couldn't get elected. But that's not what was going on. So you can't be, like I said, you know, you got to use your PSYOP survival skills, because that's not what happened. But they twist the truth and they say it enough times, and all of a sudden you're like, well, yeah, that sounds bad. And just always keep in mind,
Donald shouldn't have done this. I can't buy their garbage.
Right. Don't buy their garbage. Hey, Johnny, thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
I just love that we have this new media that's going to beat up the channels, because I saw it live, what was happening in front of the GOP office, and I didn't see it on Fox 31, Channel 7. I saw it a live feed. So we're going to start beating the news media out.
All right.
No, you're right. You won't see that there. You won't see it there. And I think Mike Lindell, I get the impression that Mike Lindell and one of his offshoots was there covering it, because I think Peg said, and I think Tina Peters has some stuff going on there too. From Charlene, right, Julie, the cabal is having to put out the Elon Musk brush fire, keeping them from tightening their grip in other places. That's true, because people keep, you know, it's kind of funny to watch Twitter and everybody's posting the truth about COVID, all of the stuff that was misinformation that turned out to be true. And Elon Musk, you know, acknowledging.
I'm starting to love Elon Musk.
I know that Twitter's actions interfered with the election and continue to interfere. I mean, they interfered with COVID. I mean, you can make a giant list of the things they interfered with. Hey, Thomas, just let us know when you get John Conlon. I think you should be coming on. And Sandra wants to say, and Chuck and Julie, Pueblo was trying to pass an anti-abortion ordinance in Pueblo. Maybe you could have somebody from, I think it's Cut Our Life, for a future show. That's true. Can they do that? Can they have an anti-abortion ordinance in Pueblo? I thought you can make laws weaker, but not. Who knows? I guess
pass
they can sure try.
Find out.
Pass it and find out. Exactly.
All right. We've got John Collin on us with line three.
Hey, John. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie show again. Thank you for your time.
Hey there, Chuck and Julie. Glad to talk to you again. And Chuck, good to see that you're still giving people grief most of the time.
All right.
Okay. Colorado through some of the election and the leadership process, but you had a great column in AM Greatness, which I thought made the really good point that it all basically starts with education. And why don't you just go ahead and just sort of talk about that?
Sure. Well, that's, you know, it's been said before that politics is downstream of culture, but everything's downstream from public K through 12. You know, there's 50 million young minds that go through or in public K through 12. And that's kind of setting the stage for things. And I think that as this last election has kind of showed, we're losing the battle before it even starts, kind of like your last segment that you guys were talking about. We need to fight where the fight is happening. And we've abandoned K through 12 over the past 50 to 60 years. It's been handed over to liberal causes, the teachers' unions, which are just a branch of the Democrat Party, or as Rush used to say, it might be vice versa there. So I was just laying out a strategy of these wealthy Republican donors, these billionaires who talk about they're going to give away all their fortunes, to fund a scholarship fund for thousands and thousands of students, so we could bring a marketplace to education, and hopefully, as consumers and citizens see the success of that, they will be more comfortable changing the way public education is funded, so we start funding the student as opposed to the establishment. We're not politically, we're not there right now, but that's basically the goal of the article.
Well, isn't Arizona already there? I mean, they passed a law, and now that they crooked the Maricopa election, they'll be able to have their own governor kill it. But they basically said everybody gets $6,000-$7,000. You can take it anywhere you want.
Whatever school.
Whatever school you want, a public school, a charter school, a religious school. It's all up to you. And that ends the Democratic establishment. That ends the hold they have on our children. You know, I've studied public education in America, and it was always rotten. It was rotten from the day it started, because basically you had religious schools in which the Catholic, Protestant, whatever, hoped to mold young minds toward their religious values and beliefs. And John Dewey and other ones said, no, we want to have a secularized education system, public secularized. What they meant by secularized meant atheist. They meant no God. We want to make sure it's no God. And they planned from the very beginning to mold young minds to left-wing causes. That's what all the original educators for public education were about. It was rotten from the core. That has just gotten worse, and we've got to do away with it. Just say it's gone. It's like in Arizona. It no longer exists. Here's your money. You take it wherever you want to, and we no longer have the monopoly of the state. Trying to secularize
exactly. Well, and you know, has been pointed out many times before, government, whether you like it or not, funds a lot of things. But just, you know, just because you're on food stamps doesn't mean government's running the grocery store. Right. Whereas public education is, it's funded by the public. That's a positive, but you know, only basically into government schools.
Right.
And That's a poor model, bottom line. It's, you know, Julie and I have talked in the past about system design drives everything. System design drives the output. And until we change the system design, the output's not going to change.
Well, and you point out really well in the column just the cottage industry that has grown up around it. I mean, let's just look at critical race theory. We did a show where we talked about in Douglas County, right? They were paying tens of thousands of dollars requiring teachers to go to this training. That was really nothing more than critical race theory. So now you've got these companies that exist to teach critical race theory, right? You've got the teachers. I mean, it's all this vested interest, roundabout funding mechanism. So it's guaranteed to keep going. And I think you pointed out in your column, it's pretty much impossible to get rid of at this point.
Arizona.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, in other words, to change it from within, I guess, was your argument there. It's not
going to
change.
A top-down directed change, you know, I'm the boss and this is how we're going to change, simply won't work for K-12 because there's not like an organization. There's hundreds and hundreds of organizations, all with their various vested interests. The only way to change it is to bring freedom into the situation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you know, God bless Arizona, but nationwide we spend over $15,000 on average per kid per year. In the inner cities, it's far higher than that. It's like $25,000 to $30,000 per student per year for some of the most worthless education one can get. So, but if we bring the marketplace into that and let the parents decide, obviously there'll have to be some type of state regulation. You just can't give people, you know, 10 grand and say, here, you know, go spend it. I hope it all works out.
Yes, you can.
We can work those problems
out. Yes, you can.
Out.
You can give people 10 grand and say you have to spend it for education. And it only credits to education. You can do it. And parents will make bad choices. They'll make good choices. But at least it's better than the teachers' union choices.
Oh, that's good. Well,
regulation the least possible, because it is the most corrupting of all nature. And if some kids get lousy educations, they get lousy educations, as they do today. But at least some kids and some parents won't be stuck in an inner city school with no way out.
Well, or even the suburbs. I mean, we've talked about this. It's, you know, at my son's school, I'm astonished about how much movies they watch, right? Anytime there's a substitute. When I was in school, you had a substitute teacher. You had to actually do something, right? Mm-hmm. Now they watch movies. I mean, I think I've said before, he's joked, all he's seen ever is the first 40 minutes of Ratatouille because they never get to see it through the whole class. But I think the COVID thing woke a lot of parents up because they sort of saw it. And they're like, wait a minute. And John, what I like about your idea is, you know, you also kind of mentioned charter schools. Now, we go to a great charter school, but charter schools in and of themselves, because they're still public education, all it does to us sometimes, you said, it just sort of changes who's in control. And I think your theory was that if you give parents money, the schools will crop up, and then the good schools will, like you said, in the free marketplace, the schools where the kids are getting the best education, they will thrive, right?
Right, exactly. We don't all sit around and say, okay, how many Mexican food restaurants do we need to have out in XYZ neighborhood? The marketplace determines that. People determine that. Success determines that. You know, value determines that. It's so amazing when you look at the marketplace and what freedom has transformed every product, every service out there. Yet when we get to public education, people are afraid to unleash a system that has never failed, failed in millions and millions of tries, and we're afraid to do it. It makes no sense. That's the reason we have to prove to the voter in some way, shape, or form that they can do something like this, and it will be better for the vast, vast, vast majority of students and teachers, to tell you the truth.
That's right.
Well, you can start putting referendums in very red states, because the teacher unions are just as bad there, and most people in Nebraska would probably vote for it. Most people in Wyoming would probably vote for it. Maybe not New York City. So let them rot.
Maybe COVID has changed a little bit of that. But you even see, you know, Republicans are very hesitant to go there too. They see this as kind of that third rail, and there's very few profiles and courage out there leading the charge.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. One of the things too that you point out, and it's true, is you said, you know, it's much easier to train a child to think and to how to inform themselves and then how to make decisions based on that than it is to try to change an indoctrinated adult's mind. And by the time the kids get to college, they've already been primed. Then they go to college or don't go to college and they get out. There's a reason, I think you're absolutely right. There's a reason that the young people tend to vote left, and that's because that's what they've been taught to do their whole life, really. And as parents, I think we kind of have waited and said, well, at least, you know, can they read and can they write and can they do math?
No.
Exactly.
Well, the thing I don't understand about our wonderful billionaires, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, the Vanderbilts, the Dukes, there are a dozen great schools. They're all started by these billionaires, the equivalent of a billionaire. Why aren't there any of those today? I mean, you know, there's Hillsborough College, has been around for a while, but you'd think that one billionaire would go, hey, okay, I'll start a conservative college with conservative values and everything else. And it would be enormous success. I mean, it would be world-class successful, yet not one does it. Well, everyone was dying to start one 150 years ago.
I'm with you. I do not understand that whatsoever.
Well, you know, and I think where, though, it has to start, and this is sort of the point of your column, it has to start before college, right? You might have more success at a conservative college if you had a conservative kindergarten.
But there's a huge demand for it, but there's no outlet. I mean, you can go to Hillsborough. There's some colleges starting in Austin that try to do it with no money. But it's amazing that, I mean, I went to Vanderbilt. It's not a conservative school. It's just same left-wing garbage, same with Stanford, same with Duke, same with all of them.
Well, and we did, when we were back at KNUS, we talked, remember, who was that girl? I forget her name, where she ended up getting kicked out of DU because she was a Trump supporter, right?
Right.
And I mean, so they don't just indoctrinate you, right? They actively censor you, kick you out, and they weren't going to give her money back either, right? And simply because Trump supporter.
Talk to any conservative teacher or someone who works in the public schools. They keep their mouth shut for the most part, except for those other people that, you know, they know the secret handshake. Because it will impact them greatly.
Right.
Which is terribly unfortunate that, you know, an institution supposedly about, you know, higher education, free thought, free debate, that gets to better solutions, is just the opposite when it comes to reality.
Right, right. Well, and you hope that some of these young people are, I mean, I saw that 87 Twitter employees in Boulder, the Twitter office in Boulder, got laid off. And then the other 38% quit in solidarity, and also after we sent the email out that said that they were going to have to work harder. So you got to assume that some of those people, I mean, I'm wondering if they're all going to be Republicans here in about 5 years, right? Because, you know, at a certain point, the reality starts to hit. And I guess where I'm going with that is, and I wonder if, as we're going into harder economic times, right, if perhaps, you know, the time might be ripe or riper than it's been for a while for this kind of idea, for this, the voucher, like you said, give the money to the student, not to the institution.
One would hope that the time is getting ripe, because, you know, but let's put politics aside. They're teaching the insanity of transgenderism. They're starting it in kindergarten. 10 years ago, transgenderism was what it really is, was accepted as a mental condition. Now we mutilate people, you know. If you look at the public schools and all the bad ideas they propagated, you can start with sex education, like people never could figure out sex until public schools came along. Then there was drug education. Even though the DARE program, it was proven the kids who took the DARE program actually were more likely to abuse drugs than otherwise. Then it was bullying, anti-bullying, and bullying exploded. Their success is very, very limited. All while, as Chuck noted, they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math. You know, if you're some poor kid, I don't care, you know, in Denver or in the hood someplace, you know, if you're 12 years old and you can't read, you can't write, you have, you know, poor command of the English language, no mathematics, no science, what the hell future truly do you have? You know,
right.
Every one of those guys shooting each other in Chicago every weekend, do you think any of them got a quality education or even an opportunity for the quality education?
Arms training. They got some arms training.
Yeah, they got arms training. I remember years ago doing a story with some gang members, and they were selling crack, right? And some of the gang songs would teach you like the mathematics of crack, right? You know,
right.
So I will say they do learn a little bit of entrepreneurism, but well, John, hey,
somehow their gang members or the gang bosses can teach them these things, you know,
yeah,
crack,
right,
and stuff.
Right. You'd think a teacher could teach him too. You know, I think it's, well, I, you know, as you said, the free market system has always worked, right? Until people start interfering with it. And hopefully we get there, because I think, you know, the Arizona, like, they'll probably kill it now, Chuck, but that is the way to do it, is fund the student and then the parents, and trust parents. Part of it is it's not that they don't trust parents. They just don't want parents to make a decision that they disagree with.
Well, some parents will make bad decisions, but that's life. You get to make bad decisions. You know, one person will make a bad decision. That's the government. They're very good at making a bad decision. And making it, imposing it on everyone else.
Right. Hey, and John, well, go ahead. You can go ahead.
Well, as Chuck kind of alluded to, oh, never mind. I just lost the thought. So.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. So people should read all your comments. Where can people find your work? I know this one is it's still on the main page at amgreatness.com. Where else can people find you?
Search for my name, John Conlon, or my corporation or my nonprofit is EICEnterprises.org. They can go visit the website. We have tons of articles there. Talk about neutering the tech giants. We need to start addressing a lot of these issues from a system standpoint, and we need to change kind of the paradigm that we start from. You know, I took science classes in my undergraduate college degree. Never once did they ask me my opinion. They taught me what the facts are. You know, the facts are the free market and capitalism works, and socialism and communism do not. It's not a personal choice. And you know, that's kind of where we need to start with a lot of this.
All right. That makes sense. Change the system. All right, John, thank you for your time.
Thanks, John. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, you too. You know, boy, and thank you to everybody. Had a great show today. Thank you to Anna, Casper, Peg, Ben, Joe, and thank you to Thomas and the guys at BBS and Johnny and John Connell, the guys at BBS, for kind of keeping track of that too.
They did a good job there.
It's like sometimes people say, "How come you know?" I mean, if I tried to do that myself, I guarantee you that would be operational error. Yeah, exactly. Hey, so on Friday we're going to have Robert Spencer on today, but he had some other stuff going on, so we're going to have him on Friday to talk a little bit about what's going on in China, because it's so hard to tell with the media anymore. And I know China's censoring stuff. The Biden
Apple is helping him censor stuff.
Is helping him censor stuff. So it's hard to get a sense of what's going on, why is it going on, and what does it all mean? So we'll be talking to him about that. And a little bit too, wanted to talk to him about the World Soccer Cup. I think what I consider to be some of the arrogance of the Western, particularly American culture, where they just try to tell all these other cultures they're bad and they're wrong.
You bring the world together and you often see the worst of mankind. You're seeing some of that anyway.
There you go.
And you also, soccer is the world's most boring sport to watch.
So there's that. So they have to do something. So thank you to everybody. And we will see you all back here on
Friday.
All right. Have a great week.
Take care, everybody. Then.